This is the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, a program which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and as your host for the More Abundant Life, it's my privilege to welcome you today to our program. I do hope that you will stay tuned because, as usual, we have some inspiration for you. In fact, the message that Pastor Phipps has chosen to present today is on two prophets. It's a message that you just simply will not want to miss today. So please stay tuned to our program here on the More Abundant Life. Just before we begin our message today, we have a special song by Pastor Wendley Phipps, a song that's entitled Marvelous in Our Eyes.
God, everlasting King. I have your Bibles. I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 9. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 9. And God says in his word, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, I pray you, let me inherit a double portion, a double share of your spirit. My message this morning, a double portion. One day, Elisha was out in his father's field plowing, farming, and minding his own business. When he saw off in the distance a man walking towards him. When the man reached the place where Elisha was, the man suddenly, unexpectedly, threw his coat, his mantle around Elisha, and kept walking. Instinctively, Elisha knew what that meant. This was his call to ministry. Elisha knew that intuitively, that the prophet Elijah was announcing God's call upon his life, and that he was now to become Elijah's protege in ministry, a trainee prophet. Elisha knew that from this day forward, he was to be a prophet in waiting. And so the Bible says Elisha stood there for a brief moment, contemplative, transfixed. Somebody walked along beside you and just threw a cloak on your shoulder, you'd stand there for a minute too. Elisha dropped the reins and left the oxen. Ran after Elijah and said, wait just a moment, let me, I pray thee, go and kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. Yeah. Elijah said to him, now, Elisha, you don't have to come if you don't want to. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, said Elijah, why don't you just go back and stay with your father and mother? Well. Oh, no, I know what this means, said Elisha, but first I need to go and tell my father and mother goodbye, and then I'll come with you. Elijah said to Elisha, go back to your plowing. Why would you want to be a prophet anyway? Brothers and sisters, this is not a rebuff or a rebuke for Elisha. This was just a test of faith. You know, God does that to you sometimes. Elijah was saying to Elisha, before you come, go back home and count the cost of discipleship. Count the cost of ministry. Before you accept or reject this call, assess your options. Weigh it carefully, for ministry is never easy. Elisha, if you're more comfortable with your home and its environment, don't say yes to this call. Stay home. Oh, but Elisha couldn't stay home. Elisha understood the value of this opportunity. He knew that this call was not from man. He knew that this call was from God. And he determined in his heart that he would let nothing prevent him from walking with and serving the needs of God's prophet Elijah. Elisha said to the prophet, I will stand with you in ministry, for this is my destiny. Elisha accepted the Lord's call without even going back home. Right there, he killed the young oxen. You listening? Lord Jesus. Sacrificed them to God as a sign of his commitment to ministry. Elisha used the wood from the plow to cook the meat. He was serious. And then he shared it with the servants. And after they all eaten, he told them to take the rest of the meat home. And he stayed with Elijah in ministry for the rest of his life. When Elijah burned his farm equipment to follow the Lord, to follow the call of God on his life, Elisha was not only symbolically, but literally burning bridges behind him.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. I'm not going to need this anymore. He was saying, I embark upon this course believing that there is no failure with God. I want you to know that I have combed this Bible through and through. Never have I seen anywhere where the word failure is used in connection with God and his people. There is no failure with God. And so by faith, Elisha became Elijah's personal attendant. He didn't ask what the pay scale was. He didn't ask about the benefits, whether or not he would have vacations or time off or paid leave. Once Elisha put his hands to the gospel plow, he didn't turn back. And in the beginning, Elisha didn't have much to do. There was no great work that was required of him. Let's just be honest. For the first few years, Elisha was Elijah's gopher. He was always going for this and going for that. His early discipline was simple duties. Jehoshaphat, in 2 Kings 3, verse 11, Jehoshaphat said in there, does anyone know if there's a prophet of the Lord nearby to whom we could go for advice? And one of the officers of Joram said, Elisha, son of Shaphat, he lives not far from here. You remember, he was the one who all he used to do was pour water on the hands of Elijah. In Scripture, Elijah is spoken of and was known as the one who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. But Elisha didn't mind. He determined to prove faithful in the little things. And as he walked with Elijah, Elisha faced many trials and temptations, but in every emergency, he relied on God. Many a day he was tempted to think of the home he had left and the money he used to make. The money could have made. Oh, but for Elisha, there was no turning back. Elisha helped Elijah reestablish many seminaries that had fallen into decay. And these two men were inseparable in ministry. I heard someone say that success without a successor is failure. Success without a successor is failure. Oh, but one day God came to Elijah, told him he had only a little time left on earth. Elijah got busy preparing Elisha to carry on the work he had begun. These two men had been working together for almost 10 years, preaching the word of God, but it was time for them to part. Elijah took Elisha with him on his final tour of the seminaries at Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho. Elijah said to Elisha, the Lord wants me to go and visit our school at Bethel, but I want you to stay with our students here at this school. Elisha said to Elijah, as surely as the Lord lives, I will not leave your side. What is about to happen to you, I got to see this for myself. The students at Bethel said, Elisha, did you know that the Lord is going to take Elijah away from you today? Elisha said, yes, I know. The Lord has already told me. And later that day, Elijah said to Elisha, the Lord wants me to go on to Jericho, but I want you to stay here. You're trying to get rid of it. But it was a test of faith. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord is alive, I will not leave your side. And so they went on to Jericho another 13 miles. Now they walked 13 miles. We if we have to go three blocks to the grocery, we ride.
That's right. Amen.
It was late in the afternoon when Elijah said to Elisha, the time has come. The Lord wants me to go to the Jordan River. But I want you to stay here. For a third time, Elijah answered, as surely as the Lord lives, I will not leave your side no matter how tired I am. You have worn me out today, but I'm not leaving your side. Elisha was determined to be with his mentor and tutor right up to the very end. And so all together, Elijah and Elisha walked another 5 miles till they reached the Jordan River not far from Nebo. And 50 seminary students followed them. See this scene. They stood at at a distance as the two men approached the Jordan River. They saw Elijah take off his mantle, the same mantle he had thrown around the shoulders of Elisha while he was plowing that day. Elijah rolled up his mantle, hit the water with it, and the river Jordan divided. Just like the Red Sea, it parted. Rolled up on either, are you with me today? Rolled up on either side, and after they crossed, Elijah knew that the Lord would take him. So he said to Elisha, what would you like me to do for you before I leave? Elisha answered, I pray that I'll receive a double portion of your Holy Spirit. Now something tells me, brothers and sisters, that that was not the first time that that thought entered Elisha's mind.
All right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Something tells me that Elisha was observing his mentor, and he was saying to himself, if ever he goes,
yes, sir.
I want twice as much of what God gave him.
Yeah.
Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. I don't have the power to decide if you can get that. But if the Lord lets you see me when I'm taken away, if he lets you see me go up, you'll get what you asked for. But if he doesn't let you see me, he's decided not to give you what you asked for. And as they were walking along, talking together, suddenly the heavens lit up and there was a swirling of wind, lightning flash. From the midst of the swirling wind, there came a fiery red chariot drawn by fiery horses racing towards them. As the two men ran in opposite directions to get out of the way, Elijah was swept up into heaven by a whirlwind, taken up into the heavens. And as he was going up, Elisha cried out, Father Elijah, I see the chariots. I can see them. Elisha, right there, tore his own robe in half. A symbol that he was passing from a place of adequacy to a place of double portion. He was moving from just enough to too much. Are you with me today? And after tearing his own robe, he picked up the mantle that had fallen from Elijah's shoulders, headed to the Jordan River. Standing at the Jordan River, he said, now let me see.
Yes, sir.
If it worked for Elijah, will it work for me?
All right. Yes, sir.
And there he said, took that mantle, rolled it up, hit that water, and he said, where is the power of the God of Elijah? And then he hit the water with that mantle. The river Jordan parted. Elisha walked across on dry ground. Listen to what the servant of the Lord says. She says that when the Lord, in his providence, sees fit to remove from his work those to whom he has given wisdom, he helps and strengthens their successes. If they will look to him for aid and will walk in his ways, they may be even wiser than their predecessors. For they may profit by their predecessors' experience and learn wisdom from their mistakes. Oh, Elijah was gone now. One era of ministry had ended, another had begun. Elijah had been translated to heaven. His mantle had fallen upon Elijah, and from that day, Elijah was God's special agent of miracles. At the school in Jericho, he asked for double portion. You should have seen how he used it. Listen, at the school in Jericho, the men of the city said to him, this town is well situated, but the water here is bad. As a result, people have gotten sick. We can't grow good crops. Elijah said to them, go bring me a new bowl filled with salt. And are you with me today? You can find that in 2 Kings 2. Verse 21, he took it and went out to the city spring, dumped the salt in it. He said, this is what the Lord says. The water in this spring is now healed and will never make the people sick again or keep the land from producing crops. And from that moment, the water of the city was pure. Elijah was God's special agent of miracles. And some years ago, when I shaved my head, it took a special interest. I took a special interest in this next miracle story.
Yeah, come on now.
If you have your Bible, go to 2 Kings 2, verse 23. The Bible says, when Elisha left Jericho and went to visit the school at Bethel, as he was walking along, a mob of young thugs came out of the towns to make fun of him and of Elijah's disappearance in the heavenly chariot. They shouted and cursed at Elijah, saying, "Hey, Baldy, are you going up next?" The Bible says, when the Spirit of the Lord came, are you with me today? When the Spirit of the Lord came on Elijah, he stopped, turned his face to them, and said, "May the Lord punish you for what you're doing." And then suddenly two mother bears came out of the woods, chased the young men, mauling them, 42 of them. Oh, what power was given to Elijah. He was the forerunner of the power and miracles of Jesus. Almost every miracle Jesus did, Elisha did before him. Elisha raised the Shunammite's son from the dead.
That's right.
He multiplied loaves to feed 100.
That's right.
When a widow appealed Elisha for help because a creditor was about to make her son slaves to satisfy her debt, Elisha had the widow pour olive oil from her one jar into all the empty jars.
Yeah. All right.
Amen. Reminds me of a story I read this week of a man who was coming back with his wagon, and he had some spring water on the back, and he was coming from an evangelistic meeting where he had heard the message about how Jesus turned water into wine, and they kept pouring, and there was more than enough, and the police stopped them because there was a report that some moonshiners were, were doing their thing in the area, and the police said, "What you got on the back?" He said, "It's just water, spring water." Police said, "Let me taste it." I got to taste it. And then when he opened up and tasted it, it was bitter. And he knew this was not water. And the policeman said, "That's not water." And the old man looked up and said, "Lord, you did it again." Every miracle that Jesus did, Elisha did before him. Once during a time of famine, a group of young prophets gathered wild vegetables. I'm talking about the power of Elisha. They gathered wild vegetables to make into a stew. One of them by mistake, one of the young prophets by mistake gathered poison vegetables. You know, preachers can't do everything. I used to wonder, you know, when we are poor preachers, we get called for everything. People think we are experts in everything. Phone rings, "Pastor, somebody's breaking into my house. Call the police." Preachers can't do everything. Just because they know the Lord, that doesn't mean they are competent in all disciplines. Amen? Reminds me of that commercial where you've probably seen it, where that surgeon walks into the operating room and the operating staff doesn't recognize him, and they inquire of his credentials, and he says he's ready to operate. He had a good night's sleep at Holiday Inn. Preachers aren't pilots and accountants. Now, they can be trained to do those things, but if you ever see me walking into an operating room, if you aren't dead, you better get up. This young preacher, the Bible tells us, had gathered up, put poison vegetables in the soup. He didn't know by mistake, and as the group began to eat the stew, the men cried out, "There's death in the pot." Some people told me that they've heard people say that at some potlucks. You know, there's death in that pot. Oh, no, but this time there was really death in the pot. God used Elijah to perform yet another miracle. Elijah mixed some flour with the stew, told everybody to eat. Because of the power of Elijah, the poison was neutralized. The Bible tells us that so much power was given to Elisha that when Elisha died and they buried him, one day at the beginning of the harvest, a band of Moabites invaded the land. They attacked while the funeral procession, another funeral procession was on its way to bury another man who had died, when the gang of looters swooped down and attacked the members of the funeral procession. In their haste, the members, and in their fear, the members of the funeral procession were looking for someplace to dump the body because they had to run. And they dropped the body in the first available tomb. That tomb happened to be Elisha's tomb. And the Bible says when the linen-wrapped body of the dead man came into contact with the remains, the bones of Elisha, there was still so much Holy Ghost power wrapped up in the bones of Elisha that that man stood up, the Bible says, on his feet. Oh, you're not listening to me today. Go in your Bible. Look at it. 2 Kings 13:21. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived, stood up on his feet.
Well, that concludes Pastor Phipps' message for today. I do hope that you enjoyed the message and that it has been a blessing for you. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, you may call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. You will want to ask today for program number 199, which will give you the message that you heard today. Again, that's program number 199. Also, if you'd like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Goodluck Road in Seabrook, Maryland, which is in the Washington, D.C. area. You may obtain directions to the church by calling 301-577-6342. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. Well, until our next program, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I wish you God's richest blessings for this week. Please join us again, though, for another program here on The More Abundant Life. But until you can, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.